Hello, and welcome back to Mental Health Spot. This is your girl, Oli, speaking. If you are under the age of 18, please consult with your parent, guardian, or a trusted adult before continuing to tune in to my podcast episodes. I'm back. And it's been a hot minute since I've been on here, and it's definitely not intentional. It's just life. It's just life. Things have been crazy on this end of the world, as in on my end of the world, but things have been crazy in the world in general. And I just want to remind all of you today, before I dive in, that your problems are valid. Your feelings are valid. If you've heard from other people, particularly the older generation, other people have it worse. You don't have any real problems. I'm here to tell you that the devil is a lie and your problems are real. Sure, other people are going to have it worse. I mean, if we really want to sit here and play that game, right? Other people have it worse than me. Other people have it better, duh. Okay? So, with that being said, one of my favorite quotes is, I feel that I'm misquoting it, but the general sentiment behind the quote is, if somebody's drowning in 7 feet of water and somebody else is drowning in 12 feet of water, everybody's still drowning. You know, I gotta make my version a little bit more Olivia. Everybody's still drowning, so I have to tell myself that too, because when I see what's going on in the world, sometimes I'm like, wow, like, I'm okay. What problems do I really have? And then I'm like, wait a minute, this is not what I would teach my clients. How is this helpful to me? How is this me practicing the self-compassion that I preach to my clients? So with that said, I'm back. Things have been difficult for your girl, but I'm back. I'm accepting new clients. I am officially an independent practitioner. Well, I've been having an LLC, but now I am working just fully alone, and it was a hard decision to make. Definitely very bittersweet, but I'm happy to be here, and a part of me like wants to delete all of the old episodes, except for the ones about my parents, of course, and my family and whatnot. I want to delete all of that, and I want to just start fresh, because I feel cringy when I think about less experienced clinician Olivia. And then I'm like, well, wait, in another 4 years, when I look back at myself now, I'm going to feel cringy then too. I think the fact of the matter is, I gotta leave all my episodes up because I spoke from a place of awareness that I had then, of education that I had then, and our awareness and our education, if you're a healthcare professional, you know this to be true. It's forever expanding. It's forever growing. I mean, there's a reason why every, you know, couple of years, we have to do a certain amount of trainings and courses to make sure that we refresh our knowledge, that we learn new things or even relearn things that we thought we knew, but perhaps it was a misconception. And so I gotta allow my cringy stuff to stay up, because that cringy stuff helped somebody out there. And let's see, what can I say about what I've been up to? There's just been a lot going on, but work is great. Doing what I do each and every single day, like, there's never a moment where I talk, I'm already crying, where I talk about being a therapist that I don't tear up. Because it is such an honor and a gift. And I feel really lucky. And yeah. Whew. Just being able to like receive so much trust from clients and love from clients, and just to know that my clients are improving, that they're feeling the benefits, that they're implementing the things that they've, you know, learned in our sessions, in the, you know, in their outside worlds. And I just value so much like the therapeutic relationship, the client therapist relationship. It's so special. And if it's the right therapeutic fit, it's gonna feel really, really good. So with that, let's see, what can I tell you? A lot's been going on. So I'm still married to the ever controversial Fernando, although most of you know his real name by now, but let's keep Fernando. Fernando's doing well. Him and I are hanging in there. Some days are easier than others. As you can imagine, being in a relationship is no joke, but we're doing okay. I thought I heard an animal outside, so it stopped me in my tracks. I was like, it sounds like a cat. It's either that or Fernando is watching a video really loudly. I'm being so nosy right now. Anyway, okay. Back to y'all. Fernando and I are good. My mom is unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your position, currently residing in a rehab center. October last year, things started to take a really bad turn. I mean, months prior to that. So if you don't know and you're just tuning in, I was a full-time caregiver for my mom for almost 3 years since my father's passing. And those 3 years were very hard on both of us for a variety of reasons. But her health started to decline a lot. And it got to the point where I was making 911 call after 911 call because she couldn't get up at all. I couldn't lift her. My husband couldn't lift her. And my husband's a big guy. You know, he's muscular, he's bigger, and like he wasn't able to lift her. And so she went in for a total hip replacement surgery. This is literally like the condensed version. It turned out that her hip was, I don't know if I'm saying the right word. Okay, he must be watching a video really loudly because it's literally sounding like someone's fighting outside. I guess I'll ask him when he comes inside. He likes to hang out outside sometimes and just listen to his music. Anyway, wow, my distractibility today. So it turned out that her hip had necrosis in it. So apparently that means, please correct me if I'm wrong to all my doctors and my nurses out there. But apparently that means that there was no circulation going to the hip. So it explains why it was so painful. I mean, we couldn't even touch her. Like, I'm talking about like a light touch. We couldn't even touch her. So she had to get that replaced. She did. And as most of you know, she wasn't moving much before the hip replacement. She hasn't been able to move after. She's had a lot of complications post-op. And she's still in rehab. So it's been really hard. And definitely sad not to have her home. I've wrestled with a lot of sadness around it because she's my mom. And as much as she can drive me crazy sometimes, I still want her home. This is her home. And it feels weird to be here without her. All the time. It's been 3 months. It feels very weird. But I also understand that she is being taken care of in a capacity in which I cannot take care of her right now, for a variety of reasons. They're providing an excellent level of care. I've literally befriended every person who works there. There's this guy that jokes with me and that works there that calls me Karen, because I'll send emails out and I'll be like, hi guys, or I'll be like, hey besties, and I'll like say something nice and then I'll express my concern and then I'll end it with something nice. They know what I'm doing at this point because they know I'm like super touchy feely mushy. So he's like, what's up Karen? It's hilarious because like I can't imagine anyone ever calling me a Karen. Like, I've never in my life been called a bitch. Sorry, B word. I realize that I curse on here. I've never been called, like, no one's ever been like, God, Olivia's such a bitch. She's such a bad person. Like, I'm not telling you that there's people in the world that don't like me. That exists. That they're out there, trust. But those aren't typically the reasons, you know? Like, it's not usually like, God, Olivia's such a horrible person. She's such a bitch. Like, that doesn't really happen. So it's just funny to me to think of someone jokingly, obviously he's kidding, calling me Karen. It's fabulous. I love it. I'm here for it. I'm in my main character, Karen energy era. But everyone's there has been great with my mom. Lovely. They're taking great care of her. I go almost every day. My aunt goes almost every day. Shout out to my aunt. You know, despite having her own health issues, she goes almost every day. And so, you know, for the most part, she always has one of us there. But it's been hard. It's been hard for a variety of reasons. And yeah. So sad that she's not home, but at the same time, happy and relieved that she's being so well taken care of. And definitely a hard decision also to have a parent, you know, in a rehab facility because, or a nursing home, because especially in my culture, I mean, if you're part of the Latinx community, you know, like, we don't believe in nursing homes. We're like, what? You're going to put your parent where? What kind of kid are you? You're a bad kid, you know, which by the way, I strongly disagree with that. I don't think you're a bad person if you make a decision to put your loved one in a nursing home, by the way. And like I've said to my family, to my husband, and to everyone that I love, if my mom gets better and she's no longer like in such a delicate state, I will pull her out and I will bring her ass home in 2.3 seconds. But things are so complicated with her right now and so touch and go. I would be scared to have her here. I mean, to be fair, I was scared to have her here the way she was prior to all of this. So, but I made it work somehow. I mean, I had help from, you know, a few nice ladies that would come, you know, once in a while to help me, particularly Natalie, shout out to her, who she was with my mom for 2 years, a little bit over 2 years. And she would come like twice a week and be here for a couple of hours so I could focus on work. And yeah, so it takes a village, and it's definitely been a journey. One of my friends jokes that I always use the word journey, but it's such a good word to use. Like, what other word is there really to describe my sentiments? And I'm here brushing my hair. We're like detangling it because there's like a big knot in the back. So that's what's been going on as far as me. What's up with me? Well, 37 years old officially. Woohoo, woohoo. No kids yet. A lot of people ask me, Olivia, do you have kids? Do you want kids? The answer is no, I don't have kids. I have two stepsons who I love, and while I don't have kids, I am open to having kids. I love kids. Kids make me happy. I love all kids. Like, there's different types of people in the world, you know. There's people out there that are like, oh, I only like my kids, but I don't like other people's kids. And then there's people out there that just hate kids in general. And then there's the people that love kids. I love all kids. To me, all kids are cute. All kids are adorable. Like, I'm a kid person. But I have, as you guys know, I think I've referenced it on here, PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome. And you don't know what your fertility is going to be like when you have that. It could be fine. It could not be fine. And I've never been pregnant. I've also never tried to be pregnant because it's something that I give a lot of thought to. And I know, right? I'm 37, you know, figure it out. But like, I think about these things, you know, like I think about the fact that like, while I love my parents and I think in so many ways, they were both great and did the best they could with the resources they had at the time. My parents didn't always take great care of their physical or their mental health. And I dealt with that. I had to deal with the ramifications of that directly, impacted by that. And, you know, I could sit here and go into like a million reasons why my parents didn't take care of themselves. And I have so much grace for them and empathy for them. I still hold space for my feelings of anger because I'm human and I get to feel that. But I do, you know, give them a lot of grace and empathy because I know nobody does it intentionally. It's not like anybody wakes up one day and is like, I'm going to decide to not take care of myself and to self-neglect. And I'm going to decide for my health to, you know, go to crap. And now other people just need to deal with me. Like, nobody's thinking that. Or at least most people certainly aren't, you know. But for me, you know, I do have health issues. Nothing that I know of that's serious that I know of. But enough to where I'd be concerned to bring a child into the world and not be able to give that child my best self or have a lot of complications during pregnancy. You know, I have back problems. I have a couple pinched nerves in my back. Narrowing of the spinal canal. And as many of you know, because if there's anything you can say about your girl, I keep it real here. After, you know, my father passed away, I gained weight. I've always been a bigger girl. As far back as I can remember, I've been a bigger girl. I could trace it back to like 7-8 years old. I've always been, again, bigger, curvy, very curvy. I developed breasts at like 7-8 years old. Thighs, legs, a butt, arms. I've just always been a bigger girl. Like, this is definitely the heaviest I've ever been. And, you know, your girl, we still trying to be cute out here in these streets. We do what we can. This is not about beauty, everyone. Thank you so much, because it's not. If there's anything that I want to make clear to all of my followers and everybody who listens to me is that, no, I certainly don't think weight, being overweight automatically equals you must be unhealthy. I don't believe that. And if you know me at all, you know I don't believe that. A person's weight, the reason why a person struggles with weight in any capacity, whether they're underweight or overweight, has a lot to do with genetics. Nobody wants to talk about that, but that's the reality. Look at people's families and what people's families look like. There's a reason why. Hello? I mean, it's just, I get really passionate because everybody just wants to be like, oh no, because it's just because you're sitting around eating all day. No, not really. Not all the time. I mean, listen, I don't have the greatest relationship with food. That's a fact. But that's certainly not the entire reason why I'm overweight. It's definitely part of the reason though, because I'm not Delulu. Okay. Definitely like an unhealthy relationship with food for me, you know, where I definitely, you know, turn to food during moments of crisis, emotional eating, right? So, no, I don't think being overweight means you are unhealthy automatically. I do, however, believe that that can be the case for some people. It's not the case for everyone. This is not a one-size-fits-all, like, oh, you're overweight, so there must be something wrong with you. You must be unhealthy. You must have diabetes. You must have... No, I don't have diabetes. Okay? And I'm a larger woman and a larger body. Now, and there's no shame in having diabetes. A lot of people, you know, that I know, a lot of my clients have diabetes, and there's a direct correlation between diabetes and mental health, but that's a separate episode to unpack. I do have insulin resistance, however, because of my PCOS. So I know I'm off on a tangent here, but the point I'm trying to make is I acknowledge that I am heavier now, and that as a result of being heavier, I do notice that certain things are harder for me. And again, this might not be the case for other people. I know a lot of people that are beautiful and heavier that go hiking, go dancing, play sports. I mean, they're not limited by their weight at all. And that's wonderful. I can't say that's the case for me. And so I have to speak from my experience. I have to share my truths. My responsibility is to be authentic with all of you. So there you have it. So I do have back problems. I know my weight doesn't help my back issues. Plus I have big breasts. But I also had underlying back issues. I've had them for years, probably since I was in my 20s, if I could trace it that far back. And I remember going to doctors and being like, something's wrong with my back. And doctors just being like, you're too young. You're too young. You're too young. You're too young. You're just overweight. You're just overweight. If you lose weight, it'll go away. Okay. So your girl was gaslit for about 7 years. And one of my last medical appointments, the lady was very nice. She really was. She literally told me to my face, your MRI is not going to show anything. It's not going to show spinal stenosis. You're going to be fine. Guess what my MRI said? You want to guess? You want to guess that I was right and that I know my body? This is why when a client comes to me and says, Olivia, hey, I think I might be autistic. Hey, Olivia, I think I might have ADHD. Hey, Olivia, you know, I think I have bipolar disorder. I'm not like, no, I'm the expert and I know better than you. And like, you don't have that. I'm like, okay, thank you for telling me. Why do you feel that way? Talk to me. I want to understand from a place of genuine care and curiosity. Because nobody knows you like you do, period. So, your girl's having back issues, and I don't want to bring a child into the world until that is a situation that has improved, until I am able to listen, until I'm able to somewhat run after this kid, you know? Right now with my back issues, I can't do any of that, you know? So I think about these things and I want to be able to give as much of my best self to my child, my future child, as possible. So hope that answers that. A lot of people also ask me, what's your political affiliation, Olivia? Fun fact, you can absolutely ask your therapist what their political affiliation is. Most therapists will tell you. They should tell you, because that, for some people, is a deal breaker. That, for some people, will make or break the therapeutic relationship. And that's okay. You get to decide what works for you. I like to consider myself a moderate, liberal-leaning lady. I believe that we all deserve to have access to basic human rights. I mean, really more than that, but I believe that love is love, and that everybody that is in love and has a healthy love and is able to consent should be allowed to be married. I believe that women have a right to choose what they want to do with their bodies, whether we like it or not. This isn't about whether we like it or not. And that's what people don't understand. It's like people want to talk about, oh, I mean, if you want to talk about the morality of it, that's a separate issue, though. That's a separate issue. I'm talking about, should they have the right to do what they want with their body? Dare I quote Lady Gaga, right? And the answer is yes, period. The minute we take, where are we going to end up? The minute we take a woman's rights away about her own body. So, yes. Does that mean that I like abortion and that I'm like, woo, it's a great idea? What I think doesn't really matter, if I'm honest. What matters here is that women deserve access to healthcare, and that is a part of healthcare. What else can I tell you? The right to bear arms. I really, you know, have a lot of opinions about this one, but to keep it simply put for you, I do think if you want to have a gun or two in your house to protect your house, sure, do it. Again, we're looking at, and this is why I appreciate the way that I'm able to see things, and this is why I have clients from all walks of life that see me. I have clients that are Republican that see me. I have clients that are Democrat that see me, and I have everywhere in between, because I'm looking at this as rationally as possible, right? Do I like guns? No, I don't. I do not like guns. I have 0.0 interest in guns. I don't like them. They do not make me happy. I think guns can be a really big problem. Now, should we have maybe one or two in the house to protect your family? If that's what you want to do, sure. But I do think that we need to have stricter laws around it, because we have children getting their hands on guns and going to schools and committing crimes. Do I also believe that if somebody wants to kill, that they can use something other than a gun? Of course. Absolutely. But I think guns make it really easy to kill a lot of people at the same time. I think it's an easy and fast way to do it. And again, I'm not saying no guns. Want to have a gun and you want to be responsible with your gun usage? Please. By all means, as long as you're responsible. But we should have some stricter laws around that, in my opinion. What else can I tell you? Let me think. If you're curious, I'm not religious, but I am spiritual. I do believe in God. I do pray. I do believe in the power of prayer. I definitely believe in it, especially with everything that I've been through in my life and everything that my mom has been through. I definitely believe that prayer has carried her through some difficult moments. I don't believe that God doesn't like gay people or that he frowns upon it. I believe that God loves everyone, and these rules, like don't have sex before marriage and don't watch pornography and don't masturbate and, you know, don't be gay and all this other stuff, I don't think that's how God really feels. I think that as long as you are a good, loving person, and you're not out here stealing from people or killing people, you're okay with God. And I think God's going to love you no matter what and allow you to repent and allow you to make amends for mistakes you've made. I don't like this whole sin thing, like sins. Like, what does that even mean? Like, if that's the case, then I sinned yesterday. Like, what? You know, like, is every time you think about sex a sin? Because then we're all sinning all the time because we are sexual creatures. Like, I just feel like, again, as long as you try your hardest not to hurt anyone and to be accountable for your actions when you do hurt someone, I believe God respects that. What else can I tell you about my beliefs? I do respect all religion. And, you know, again, as long as you're not hurting anybody, I respect everybody's cultural beliefs and religions. My family's Catholic. I was raised Catholic. I respect that about my family. I know this is a very sacred, very special, very important part of their lives. I would not interfere with it in any way. They know that I have a relationship with God. I'm cool with God. He's cool with me. Trust me. Like, I saw this thing on the internet the other day. This woman that I follow, I think I've referenced her on here before, but her name is Adrienne Bailon. I'm her biggest fan. Love her so much. She's spectacular. And she was wearing like a really beautiful, sexy outfit. And someone left a comment being like, this is not very Christian of you. And I went in. I was not here for it. I'm like, you are not going to bully Adrienne. And I was just like, I'm pretty sure God's okay with her outfit. Just call me his spokesperson. He's okay with her outfit. This is not what he's paying attention to, everyone. He wants you to feel good about yourself. He wants you to love your skin and to rock it. You know, like this, I just feel like we have our priorities so mixed up. And I feel like if everybody really sat down and actually listened to each other, we would find out that we all have more in common than we think. And we wouldn't feel so separated from each other. I have never seen the world the way it is today, as polarized, as divided as it is today. In the past 37 years that I've been alive, that I've been able to understand, I guess, well, maybe 37 years is a lot to say because I was a baby for some of that. But the point is, I've never seen the world the way it is today. And like, I have people in my life that think differently than me, and like, we have really meaningful, loving, heartfelt conversations about it. I give people the room and the space to challenge me and to show up authentically and be like, no, Olivia, I don't agree with you. And my exact reaction is like, okay, bet. I'm here for this. I'm here for your individuality. Like, I'm also not going to be friends with someone who's like walking around saying horrible things. Like, I need to make that clear. But the people in my life are good people that just happen to think differently from me about certain things. You know, like, I think that even when it comes down to it, I know this is a really sensitive topic, like the war going on right now in the Middle East, like, I think about that and I'm not thinking about it in terms of whose side am I on. I'm on the side of, I don't want anyone else to die that is an innocent person. I don't want any more children to die. I don't want any more innocent people to die. That's it. Humanity first, compassion first. I'm not thinking about it any other way beyond that. I'm just, my head is just, I want people to stop dying. And I feel like that should be something that we can all agree on, and yet we're all still standing on different sides of this. And it's sad. Why can't we all just be like, we just don't want any more innocent people to die. We need to figure out how to prevent that. Period. Like, that's it. Like, we need to figure out how to help everybody coexist in a healthy way. Like, maybe I'm being too idealistic, but I get emotional talking about this because it's like, I don't understand why. I don't understand what's so difficult to wrap your head around the fact that I just don't want people to be hurt. Now, if somebody's out here hurting other people, killing people, raping people, yeah, like, that person needs to be held accountable, 100%, you know? But what else can I tell you in my updates? What else do people want to know? I kind of like started with updating you guys and ended up answering the burning questions about Olivia. What else do people want to know? Well, 3 years ago, I reconnected with my adult niece and my adult nephews. Now hear me out. And more recently, we've been getting closer, and it's been a really, really meaningful part of my life, for sure. So I think I've talked about it on here. I have three sisters from my dad's side. My dad has these three daughters. One, her name is Mercedes. She lives in Cuba. I've never met her. But I'm about to soon, hopefully, God willing. And then my two other sisters live here, and that's a different lady that my dad was married to. And then there's my mom. So I'm my mother's only child. So my sister in Cuba has three kids that are adults, and they're all older than me, and they're my nieces and nephews. So it's really funny because their kids are my great nieces and nephews. It's really quite hilarious, but it's been a really big blessing for me to feel connected to that part of my family, and I've learned a lot from them, and I feel like that's going to be a whole other episode where I'm going to unpack how I feel about my dad and the way that he didn't raise his other daughters, but he raised me, and how I feel about that. And like, I imagine that my sisters, you know, I know because I talked to one of my sisters about it. Like, it's hurtful, you know, it's hurtful, and it makes sense to me, and I get it from a therapist standpoint why my sisters wouldn't want a relationship with me. I believe the oldest sister from Cuba is open to having a relationship with me, which is amazing. But the ones that are here are not. They don't hate me by any means. They don't want to foster a close relationship with me because it's painful for them. And I get that. And I feel like those feelings are really valid and understandable. And I feel for them at the same time as a human being that I've always wanted sisters. Sometimes I feel hurt thinking that they don't want to be close to me, but this isn't about me or my ego. And I want to make sure that they're doing what's best for their mental health. And it must be hard to be close with the daughter that your father chose to raise, but he did not choose to raise you, you know, and I hurt for them, and I'm angry with him about it. And I wish I could confront him about a lot of things. He was honest with me about a lot of things, and I appreciate that. But he caused a lot of pain, and the way that I knew my dad is not the way they know him, or they knew him rather. I knew the best parts of him and the worst parts of him. And I imagine they were privy to, you know, a lot of the bad parts. So it's been hard to wrap my head around the fact that, like, I feel like I need to make it right for him. And so whatever I can do to help my sisters, even if they don't want me in their lives, if they reach out to me and they're like, hey, we need this from you, I'm going to try to do it. Unless it's something crazy that they're asking me, I'm going to try to do it because I feel like I owe them that. Even though I know it's not my fault, everyone, I get it. I was just born. But I would do it for them. And I would do it for him, because I want to... There's this song, says something to the effect of the sins of my father. Funny that I just mentioned the word sins earlier, but anyway, it's the sentiment that I'm getting to here. The sins of my father weigh down in my soul. They do. They weigh me down, and I want to make things right on his behalf, if I possibly can. I want to be the one that can do that, because I think he would want me to. If he was rational and of sound mind, I think he would want that. And also, I want to do it for them, for my sisters. And I understand that nothing I do is ever going to erase or change the fact that he didn't raise them. I get that. 100%. But if there's anything I can do for them, I want to do it. So it's all love from me to them, even if we did not grow up together. But I've been, you know, building a relationship with my nieces and nephews, which has been great. And their kids are great. And I'm just really, really happy about that. What else can I tell you guys? I think Fernando's about to come inside. I hear him like moving back there. He's like cleaning up the yard or something. I don't know what he's doing. It's like almost 4:00 in the morning. And I'm just waiting for my hair to dry so I can go to bed. And I'm too lazy to blow dry it. And my hair dries relatively straight anyway. So I'm just like letting it live so I can go to sleep. Because I still have this thing in me like, don't go to sleep with your hair wet, that my mom would tell me. But anyway, I'm going to catch you guys up more. But right now, I just want to hear from you. What do you want to learn about? What do you want to hear about? What interests you as it relates to mental health? I want to talk about it. I want to address it. I'm open to being challenged. You can absolutely tell me, no, Olivia, I don't agree with anything you just said. This is how I feel. And I'm going to make the space to listen to you. You know, as long as it's a meaningful, respectful interaction, like, I have all the love in my heart and all the space to listen. So, with that said, it's freaking amazing to be back. And I look forward to sharing more soon. Take good care of yourselves. Be kind to yourselves. Give yourselves all that love that you deserve. And remember that your problems are valid. Your feelings are valid. And I'm here for you. Until next time.